We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
In about 40 minutes, there's going to be a baseball game on the radio again, the Yankees and the Phillies. They are playing a summer camp exhibition game, and this Yankee Report with Sweeney is brought to you by Tri-State Mercedes Dealers. Shop online, over the phone, or in person at your local Mercedes-Benz Tri-State dealer, by Interstate Batteries. Interstate Batteries, every battery for every need, and by Wallauer Paint and Design and Ace Hardware Stores. I was there. One of my rare trips leaving was there at Wallauer's here in White Plains. Visit shopwallauer.com for online ordering from Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. Sweeney Murdy, how are you, Sween?
Hello, fellas. How you doing?
Doing all right, Sween.
Excellent. So before we get to the team and all that, how is the experience going to these games? Like getting in, sitting down, are you socially distanced? You know, how does all of that work for you?
Yeah, there's distance in the press box, spaced out pretty well. The process has been pretty smooth. The first day we had some issues. The temperature scans were a problem for me the first day. But other than that, I think it's gone pretty well. I think you had to expect some bumps in the road. And watching the games are fine. I realized last night, to me, it's still watching a spring training game. You know, as much it's like, wow, this is great. But you know, after a while, I stop keeping score. I don't care who wins or loses. They don't care who wins or loses. Thursday is going to be it. You know, and when we get to those games, now I won't be at the road games, but still, the idea of watching games that count and being invested in them, and seeing the emotion the players are going to have when they're invested. That's what we're really getting to. And we're close enough now. There was you know, a lot of mystery surrounding whether or not we'd even get there. I think we're very close to it now and can feel it.
How about the strangeness, you know, and to the Yankees' credit, they didn't have these cardboard cutouts in the stands like the Mets did at Citi Field. But, I mean, but how about the strangeness of that? You know, watching this game with nobody in the ballpark, they're piping in this canned noise. You know, you're looking at the managers with masks on. Clint Frazier's playing with a man. I mean, how about all of that aspect of it, Sweeney?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that, Joe. But, you know, like, I came here to watch a lot of intra-squad games. And, you know, I've seen the team practice without fans in the stands. I've seen those things. You know, again, to me, it's really going to be about the game that counts. When the players are going to have the emotion involved in a game, you know, When somebody's going to hit a home run in the eighth inning and they're going to be excited about it and the players are clapping up and down about it, when somebody strikes out a batter with two on and two out in the eighth inning, you know, I'm curious to see what the energy level is going to be like when Gerrit Cole is trying to rear back for, you know, he's got two strikes on a batter in the eighth inning.
Right.
Are they going to pump the crowd noise up more to simulate two strikes?
Right.
And how is he going to react if he gets that third strikeout? Those are the kinds of things I'm really into. The practice stuff, it's a little curious, it's a little odd, but I'm really not all that wrapped up in it, because even the players themselves have talked about, you know, once you start, it feels kind of normal. But again, they're not invested yet, and that's what I think we're waiting to see.
Looking at this lineup tonight, and I think most of us agree this is the lineup, assuming everybody's healthy. DJ, Judge, Gleyber, Giancarlo as the front four. I think after that, you never know. Maybe Sanchez jumps ahead of Hicks. Who knows? But with DJ LeMahieu, he had a couple of at-bats last night, two at-bats to be exact, against the Mets. What's the plan for him tonight, and are they hopeful that he'll be ready to go to be on the opening day lineup Thursday night?
He's going to play about 3 to 5 innings tonight, Boone said, but that's in the field. You know, they've come to an agreement with the Phillies. It's almost like an intra-squad game where they kind of make up their own rules. They're going to have him keep getting some at-bats. So They only want him in the field for 3, 4, or 5 innings, but they'd like to get him 4 at bats. So they'll let him keep coming up and getting a few looks at live pitching. So it's still not, you know, again, it's still controlled scrimmage more than anything at that point. I'd still find it a little surprising if he was in the opening day lineup. When you keep in mind that, you know, they have the extra roster spots to play with. There's a day off after that, so you can give him another day. As far as, but to me, it's not about, could he go out there and play on Thursday? Yeah, of course he could. But you're trying to build stamina to the point where there aren't muscle pulls. Because you pull a muscle, you know, in the second game of the year, you're not coming back till the 30th game of the year. And that's a big deal right now. So I think that's the biggest concern with all of these guys, not just DJ LeMahieu, who reported late, but any of these guys making sure they're conditioned enough. So I think you're going to be very careful using the full roster in the early going when you consider, especially when you come back after, they have the off day on Friday, but then Saturday's a night game, Sunday's a day game. It's brutally hot. I think you're going to see teams making concessions to these kinds of things early on.
Does that mean that he would actually start the year on the roster? You know, it's a 30-man roster, and then, you know, maybe he could pinch hit on opening day, something like that. Or would they actually be able to not have him on the major league roster and activate him whenever they deem he's ready to go to start and play?
Yeah, I think they could, although I'm not sure about the backdating stuff now that he's actually played in these exhibition games. I don't know if there are separate rules for that this year. Like normally, normally the rule is you can't backdate if a player plays in a game where admission is charged for fans.
Yeah, well, you know, that solves that.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That's why you see guys, like in DJ LeMahieu's case, if this was a real spring training, he'd be playing in minor league games right now. He would not be playing in a real exhibition game. He'd be playing in minor league games where they control his at-bats, and if they still needed to backdate him, they could use that. I have to imagine that exception is there, or else they probably wouldn't risk putting him in these games right now. But I haven't investigated. That's a good question. I need to find the answer to that. I will try to get it for you before you guys are off. But my guess is they can still backdate that technicality is still in play because he's not playing in games where fans are allowed.
What's the deal with Tanaka? Where's he at right now, Sween?
He threw a couple of bullpens and will face hitters. What's today, Monday? He's going to face hitters tomorrow. And then again, 5 days after that. So he is not going to take that turn, early in the rotation. And actually, if he's going to face hitters on, again, in 5 days, you're going to keep him on a 5-day thing after that. So the earliest he could be back would be, a week from Thursday? So he's going to miss that first turn through the rotation. They're going to build him back up again here, but I mean, all signs are pointing up. You know, he has not trended back at all with concussion symptoms. So that's a real good sign for the Yankees. Now it's just about building him up. My guess is Michael King and the Yankee bullpen fill that first turn through. You could even bring back Garrett Cole for the fifth game because of the off day you have on Friday and then kind of fill it in again after that. But there, you know, when you're going to take 16 or 17 pitchers, you have plenty of options early on here.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's encouraging that there are so many pitchers that seem like when the season starts, they're going to be able to throw 90 pitches. I know James Paxton threw a simulated game, and he was throwing 80, 85 pitches. I'm kind of surprised about that because when we were fantasizing about the baseball season a month and a half ago, I was under the assumption, boy, these starting pitchers, they're going to go 3-4 innings first time around. It feels like that's not going to happen, that a lot of these guys are ready to go, you know, relatively deep in a game.
Yeah, I think there was just some mystery involved, Evan, because you didn't know.
Right.
While teams were keeping track of charting stuff, you still didn't know, like, with what kind of effort, what kind of intensity, what kind of efficiency were they working. If they told you they threw 50 pitches, you know, did you really know what that meant? And they didn't until they got their eyes on them and saw them. So guys like Cole, guys like Paxton, you're right, they could build up to that and feel pretty good about what they've been able to do in the last couple of weeks. I haven't kept tabs on the pitch counts of other guys around the league on what they're happening, what they're doing. But yeah, I would think that there's a good chance you're going to see a few guys, you know, maybe they're in mid-May form instead of early April form as far as innings and stamina go. But you will have the options early on with enough arms out of the bullpen if you don't have everybody built up that way.
Are we going to see Stanton as the primary DH, would you say, Sween? I mean, what do you think about that as we move into the season?
Yeah, I would think that's pretty safe to say, as long as you've got a healthy outfield. My question right now is if they have – I mean, I'm going to count Stanton as an outfielder just for roster purposes, but I think he's a DH most of the time. But if you've got Stanton, Judge, Hicks, Gardner, and Talkman, are there enough spots on your 30-man roster to bring Clint Frazier along? Mm-hmm. Are there enough at bats? Do you have the need for a sixth outfielder? If Stanton going to be your full DH, then you need five full outfielders. I think those are the questions they're going to have to wrestle with here the next few days. Frazier and Talkman have both played very well. I think you realize from what Talkman did last year how valuable they believe he is and how much a part of this he can be. I think Frazier is the last one you have to decide on whether or not you want to use that spot.
Here's what I'm curious about. So normally in the normal baseball world, in the normal world, we'd say, yeah, he's better off being in AAA because he could get at-bats. He can play every day. What do we say now? I mean, that he's going to get at-bats in intra-squad games that are played daily? Is that the same? Like, is there still a value in a guy, whether it's Estevao, Florial, or it's Clint Frazier, like you brought up? Is there a benefit to not being with the major league team because you can get more at-bats in intra-squad games these guys are going to play?
I wouldn't say benefit necessarily. I mean, yeah, technically, but I think if you're going to bring these guys up here, it's good. It's with the idea that you have a pretty good idea that you're going to use them. You know,
right?
I'm going to point to let's say I believe it's Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin, right?
Right.
For the first three, so you're going to have right, left. And the second and third games are night game, day game. I think you have the ability to get some matchups in there advantageous to use all of your position players within. I would bet you if they're going to take 13 or 14 position players, it's not going to be any more than 14 position players, but I'll bet you they'll use all of them in those first three games because of the way the schedule is laid out and because you're going to be really cautious early on to make sure you've got these guys' legs under them. Again, it's not that they can't go out there and play, but you really have to be careful that you don't expose somebody to pulling a muscle early on here because that just takes them out for an incredibly long period of time in the short season.
Do you see anybody playing the full 60 games, Sween? Anybody?
Oh, gosh, no. No.
Nobody, right? Not even Gleyber Torres. Nobody will play 60 games.
No, if you're going to tell me before LeMahieu's situation, I've told you that probably LeMahieu and Torres are the guys who would be in the lineup the most.
Right, right.
But I don't see any reason to do so. I don't see any reason to do it. I know the old thing as well, you know, 60% of this guy versus 100% of the other guy, but that's really not how they play this game anymore, Joe. They want the player to be at his peak. And if they can get him closer to his peak by giving him a day off and putting the bench player in an advantageous matchup, you know, it's strategically picking those days too, because you want to give the guy who takes his place a matchup that he has a fighting chance with. You know, this isn't going to happen this year, but you wouldn't put Mike Talkman necessarily in there against Chris Sale. You know, you'd want, you know, left on left. If you're going to use Talkman to give somebody a day off, put him in where the matchup is advantageous.
I'll give you something interesting to your point, both of your points. Last year, in a normal season, how many guys played 162 games? In all of baseball.
10.
10? That's your guess?
I don't think anybody did.
No, the answer is 5, but I will preface it by saying I'm not differentiating between starts and just getting into a game because I don't see that where I'm looking. So it's just played in 162 games.
So 5 guys played in 162.
I'm shocked it was 5.
Yeah, I was too. And by the way, Pete Alonso was at 161. You know, okay. for the Mets. I'm looking to see the number one Yankee. Ahmed Rosario was at 157. I got no Yankee at 156 because think about it, 80% of the team was hurt. But the 5 guys who did it: Starlin Castro, Whit Merrifield, Marcus Semien, Jorge Soler, Jonathan Villar. That's it. That's the list. So
wow.
To your question, Joe, no one's going to do it.
Okay, but look at the teams they were on.
Yeah, the Marlins, the Royals, the Orioles, and the A's. Semien, who had a tremendous year for the A's last year.
Yeah, yep. Semien, yeah. You can't argue with the last one, but I mean, the rest of those guys, you know, I mean, I don't think there's, you know, those teams were not trying to protect value of players for their playoff push.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, you're right, and that's why I don't think there's going to be a single guy in baseball, forget the Mets and the Yankees, that's going to play all 60 games. I don't know if there's going to be one guy who accomplishes that this season
record. Teams just don't value that anymore. You know, They don't value running a guy into the ground and saying, this player is out there, look at him go.
Right,
you know, he's probably better off getting a day rest, so he's more at his peak when you do put him back in there.
By the way, the number one Yankee last year in games played was DJ LeMahieu. And the number was 145.
Wow.
Well, sure.
And Alonso played 161, and Rosario played 157.
Yeah, and Conforto's up there, too. The Mets had a bunch of guys that did it, but for the Yankees, and obviously so many guys were hurt, it was DJ 145, Gleyber 144, Brett Gardner 141. Who would have bet that at the beginning of the season? And then Gio Urshela at 132. So, I mean, obviously the Yankees had a special year last year in terms of so many guys being hurt and they were able to overcome it, but it's just such a lost art. Guys playing every day. It's not going to – I bet if I had to bet right now, not one baseball player has played 60 games this year, to your point.
Yeah, probably.
I agree, I just don't think teams value that anymore.
Yeah. Of the young guys that the Yankee fan has had a chance to drool over the last couple of days, whether it was Clark Schmidt in the intra-squad game, Michael King the other night, Davey Garcia's pitching tonight. We'll see him. Where do you kind of rank the pecking order of guys they're going to get the crack? Maybe not in the rotation, but even getting outside of the bullpen to contribute for this team in 2020.
I think they all get cracks at some point, you know. But I think, you know, a lot of different situations will obviously go into that. At the beginning, with Tanaka's situation being what it is, I think King has pitched well enough, and I think he's been stretched out enough where they probably consider him a little bit ahead of Garcia and Schmidt. If you just went on pure stuff and ability, Garcia and Schmidt have higher upside, but they haven't pitched enough at the higher levels and aren't finished off enough in their development. And the idea is, yeah, they've got great stuff, but if they fall into trouble, do they have enough to get out of it? Do they have enough experience and guts to get out of it? Do they have off-speed pitches they can go to in fastball counts and get themselves back in? That's really the thing, the execution, the consistency of those pitches. You know, you watch a guy like David Garcia and Clark Schmidt, you want to see him in the big leagues, but you really what they're looking for is, okay, he's down 2-0. Does he have what's he going to do to get back in this count?
Right.
Or is he going to groove a fastball and give up a two-run homer? You know, what's happening here? And those are the kinds of things that just take consistency and pitching a little bit more. I think in a normal season, Garcia and Schmidt would have found their way here eventually, but that would have been with, you know, a lot of minor league time where they could have finished polishing off a little bit. Here it's just, I think it's really attrition that's going to get, not just on the Yankees, but you're going to see a lot of teams dig deep into that staff just based off of injury. And, you know, we'll see how they fare.
Sween, enjoy it. First of many, as we finally get this season started. And hopefully we finish the season. Hopefully.
I'm looking forward to the rise in artificial crowd noise when Didi Gregorius comes to bat.
Yes, yes. That'll
Video
be emotional.
Tribute for him and Girardi tonight, right?
should be interesting. Right. Thank you, Sweeney.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.